At the height of the Great Depression, 250,000 teenage hobos were roaming America. Some left home because they felt they were a burden to their families. Some fled home shattered by the shame of unemployment and poverty. Some left because it seemed a great adventure. With the blessing of parents or as runaways, they hit the road and went in search of a better life. A boy's or girl's decision to leave home was intensely personal, often spurred by naivete and hope. Many held grand visions of finding work and sending money home. Like their parents, many sought jobs that simply did not exist. Public perceptions of the road kids differed. There were people who saw the American pioneer spirit embodied in the young wanderers. There were others who feared them as the vanguard of an American rabble potentially as dangerous as the young fascists then on the march in Germany and Italy. What was indisputable and what was highlighted by a series of government inquiries that addressed the youth problem was that crumbling family structures were not the only reason these children left home. Across the nation, school doors were locked or classrooms' hours drastically reduced. 4 out of 10 youths of high school age were not in school. Many so-called vagrant boys had looked for work in their hometown for 2 or 3 years before they hit the rails. The young nomads of the Great Depression struggled to survive in a country dying by inches, in the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Resourceful, adventurous, and brave, they met joy and terror, loneliness and grandeur on their journeys. A lost generation seeking to find itself, they would be profoundly influenced by what they saw and experienced on the road. An Army of Children on the Loose. Arvel Sunshine Pearson was 9 years old when he quit school to work as a water boy in the Arkansas coal mines in 1924. When he was 13, he was old enough to go underground with his stepfather. In 1930, the Great Depression sealed the fate of the mines around Clarksville, Arkansas, throwing 1,200 miners out of work, including Arvel and his stepfather. There were no jobs for experienced miners, much less for young boys. Arvel left home with 15 cents in his pocket, went down to the Union Pacific Railroad yards at Clarksville, and caught a freight going west. 16-year-old Jim Mitchell's decision to leave his Kenosha, Wisconsin home was 2 years in the making. It began on a day in 1931, when Jim witnessed his father break down and sob uncontrollably after losing his factory job. In the following year, his father would land the occasional day job for a dollar or two. His mother went to work in a restaurant. One winter morning in 1933, Mitchell slipped out of bed, dressed swiftly, and packed a rucksack with a change of underwear, socks, shirt, a pair of pants, and his favorite book, Thoreau's Walden. He placed a note on his pillow. "I'll write," he promised. John Fawcett was the son of a prosperous ophthalmologist in Wheeling, West Virginia, where he did not want for anything during the years that brought poverty and destitution to so many American families. John attended the Lindsley School at Wheeling, then a boys-only military institute. In high school, he rebelled against the strict discipline and punishment meted out to the boys. On February 7, 1936, with the ground covered by snow and the temperature below zero, Fawcett ran away. "Mom and Dad were good, loving parents, so I didn't run away because of my home life. Why do boys run away?" "For adventure, I guess, because it's exciting and dangerous." That night, 17-year-old Fawcett swung onto the blinds, the narrow wooden ledge between the coal tender, behind the locomotive, and baggage car, of train number 77, which had made a stop at Wheeling on its run from Pittsburgh to West Virginia. By the winter of 1931-32, in the third year of the Great Depression, hope and desperation drove an army of boys and a scattering of girls to swell the ranks of the migratory idle moving across America, riding the freights or hitchhiking. Small towns in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, along the route of the Southern Pacific, reported 200 transients a day coming into their communities.